Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.
The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone.
Hello, everybody. My name is Danny Palumbo. With me is James Austin Johnson.
Hey.
And you are in the Macaroni Zone, the podcast that feels like when the banchan hits the table. Is there a better feeling, James?
Oh, I'm absolutely gutted. You had Korean barbecue last night.
Last night.
For your birthday.
For my birthday.
I'm so sorry I wasn't able to come,
it's all good. It was
this thing we had. It's like, you know, the thing, and we get to this age, and I'm married. I'm in a wife. That's what I was about to say. I'm married. We're having a child, and then two other couple friends. One who fled the pandemic to Chicago. One who fled pandemic to Alaska.
Yes,
we are all. They're both having boys, and they're due before us, so they actually know what the sex of their baby is.
Wow.
We don't know the sex of our baby yet, and we're terrified that's going to be a boy. Just the thought of every single person in my friend group that has a kid. In this,
being a
this
boy,
year, being
everybody
a boy,
having a boy,
it's terrifying.
Is terrifying, because you expect the boy to grow up. Well,
whatever.
It could be a problem.
Oh, it's a problem because boys.
A boy can be a real problem.
Boys are a disaster until age 12.
Yeah,
and then they're easy.
Yeah,
girls are easy and perfect until age 12, and then they're a disaster for the rest of their life.
Yeah,
because our society and our universe despises women.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they have
100%.
To. That once they transition from a girl to a woman, our society begins to really lay into these girls.
Boys
and
become
make them
real
feel
bruisers.
But boys get to. Boys are destructive, evil people until about 12, and then they start to get moody and develop their emotions, and then they just cloister themselves with a Nintendo Switch in the corner, and you never have to deal with them ever again.
Is there? You know
They'll
what?
Be fine.
You know what? You are going to have with a kid, and I think it's maybe the cutest. I'll say that it's the cutest food thing that exists, but a small child, a toddler, eating spaghetti was cuter than that.
Oh, it's not.
Eating spaghetti with your hands,
it does not
the
get cuter
noodles,
than that.
Noodles, like, falling down their mouth. I watched my...
Noodles are fun to eat.
Yes.
Tomato gets everywhere. It's an iconic moment.
This is why I, you know, people will often talk shit about angel hair as a pasta, and I'm like, it's... You have to respect it as a gateway pasta to other pastas. It is the pasta for children.
Yeah,
like you know, like I don't like penne very much, but you know what? If it gets people into pasta, then I'm fine with it. And angel hair has that. I feel like quality. It's easy to grasp.
It's easy to grasp. It's easy to like.
You don't feed kids bucatini, is what I'm saying.
No, you don't. You don't give them flat noodles for a while.
Right.
You don't give them. I don't know. We give them elbows and we give them spaghetti.
Okay,
and
kids,
angel
sit
fire.
Down and enjoy your agnolotti.
Your
garganelli.
Honey, you're not chewing your orecchiette. You're not chewing your orecchiette.
Right. Good Lord. But no, Korean barbecue last night. We went to Parks.
We had our big Zoom. We had a Zoom. It was scheduled.
Good.
Two other parent couples.
I totally understand.
They had already moved it for my schedule once. I didn't know that, but they had.
I know that feeling of...
And I wanted to go to Korean barbecue
bad. I know you did.
I cooked myself a New York strip
just
and
to get
salad
the...
just to feel like I was eating hot beef, you know?
I know that feeling of, shit, I can't. There's literally no way I can get out of this.
Yeah.
That feeling of like,
I
oof, if I did it again, it would be...
Because I'm a huge flake. I'm a Jeff Flake. Call me Jeff Flake because I'm
you?
A huge flake. And
are you,
I
Are you big corn flakes?
I want to cancel... On everything.
100%.
Always.
The only reason I don't is because I know I'll feel better afterwards. Like today, honestly, yeah. Honestly, I'm not crazy about birthdays. And I woke up today feeling like shit. And I was like, I don't want to do the podcast. And then I was like, oh, if I get my car and drive there and see James, I'm like, I know it's going to be fun. And then I'll feel better afterwards.
Can I tell you about the moment I had? I had the moment of you go out drinking after the Korean barbecue?
Yeah, and I didn't like it.
Did I have an opportunity to come say happy birthday to you on your birthday? I had the opportunity.
Yes.
And I'm driving us home to get to this thing.
Yeah.
I had to take my pregnant wife to McDonald's. She was like freaking out and I needed to get her food. By the way, her McDonald's order, one small, just the cheeseburger. Cheeseburger with no modifiers, the tiny little patty that has like two toppings on it.
Okay.
So cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. Pickles?
A cheeseburger, which feels so weird to say at a McDonald's taco.
Right.
A cheeseburger.
Right. They're all called something
they're
else.
They're all something
they're
else.
They're all called something else.
But there's one item that is called the cheeseburger,
yes.
And it's probably the worst form of a cheeseburger that they offer. Small fries. Cheeseburger, small fries. This is a meal that they don't even offer anymore. They don't even offer it on the kids' menu.
Right.
It's just hamburger on the
kids'
menu.
That's like, that's a starting point for something else from McDonald's.
Cheeseburger, small fries, and an Oreo McFlurry. This is my pregnant wife's order.
You know, I like that.
It is pretty good.
I like that because that's a reasonable amount of food, actually. I think it's a very reasonable
you
amount.
Shouldn't
because
eat much
more. Because if you're going to get a McFlurry,
you
probably shouldn't get like, I'm going to get a Big Mac and then a large fry. No.
No.
Cheeseburger, small fry. McFlurry.
That is,
you still have room for it at the end. You appreciate it more.
Let's see that McFlurry. Do you think that McFlurry is like 600 calories or lower?
Oh, for a small,
it was a regular.
Oh, regular over six.
750.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So this ends up being a 1,000 calorie meal, but I would think that
which is fine.
I would think that the small fries and the cheeseburger by itself is probably around 650, 600, right? Or do you think the fries are just
even a small fries? Aren't high. If I had to guess calories, because I used to be a calorie counter, I think small fry between 3 and 4, probably more like 3 though. And then the
more than the cheeseburger, right? The fries more than the cheeseburger?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably not.
Oh god, we're gonna have to look this up, fellas.
Small fry. I kind of want to. Nah, we're not gonna do it though.
Wait, this is gonna take too much time.
Korean barbecue parks in Koreatown always pops up as like the best Korean BBQ in Los Angeles. And I hadn't been there. And, you know, it's the best because of the quality of the meat. That's what they all say. You read anything about it.
The quality of the meat.
There are
Park's
some places
barbecue.
That probably do better banchan, which if nobody knows what banchan is, it's a tapas of, you know, different Korean little side dishes.
It's the stuff
that
that's already there.
It's the stuff that's already there as soon as you sit at the table. Or they bring it out when, like, our last person in the party had to come, and then they brought everything out.
Banchan game.
Just, you're immediately eating, which is amazing.
Banchan game. Banchan game. Yeah. Let's name together as many banchan as we could possibly think of.
Oh, you could make up things and it'd be fine. You would be like a bowl of cereal, and you're like, yeah, sure, that counts as banchan.
There had to have been a mac salad. Was there a mac salad? Mayonnaise-y elbow noodles
there
with
wasn't.
Some carrots?
There wasn't.
Okay, damn.
There was like a red
my first guess.
Gochujang bean sprout
thing.
You get pickled... It felt like pickled onions, but pickled in like some sort of like beet vinegar juice. It was really good.
It was not kimchi.
But it wasn't beets.
Something.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. We did. We had a. What else did we have? We had like a roast beef stew. They gave you like three nicely cooked soft potatoes with little hunks of, you know, some sort of beef chuck or something in like a brown gravy. I was like, well, that's a new one for me. Just like a little thing of soup. You just eat a little thing of clam chowder.
So it's like a little, potato, like a jacket potato, like a
no,
small
like three
one?
Like scalped, you know, maybe white potatoes.
Oh, okay.
You know, sort of like little chunks of potato,
floating like matzo balls in a.
It wasn't even floating. It was like
stew.
Potatoes, a couple pieces of like chuck, a little bit of gravy. They brought out like a big like sort of like shaved salad. What else did they have? It's a lot of vinegar.
Was there a corn and cheese item?
There was not.
I'm seeing a lot of cheesy items when I go out to Korean
really?
Barbecue. Yeah.
Banchan? No, we didn't have many cheesy items.
Oh, there's one. I don't know if this is the same place, but there's one Korean barbecue place here. Around the grill, there's like a trough, and they came and they filled it with basically what was white queso.
Hilarious. That's
there was like queso.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize there would be so much cheese.
Yeah.
In like a banchan.
That's the thing. That's the thing in Korean food. There's like a lot of cheese.
What this place
stuff,
really
Korean
did,
food.
And I'm sure that there's better banchan in Los Angeles than Parks. I'm sure of it.
They're a meat forward.
They're a meat forward chef-driven vroom vroom concept. And they have... Well, you know what I did like is there was a... As soon as you sit down, there was like a little mixture of like maybe... It wasn't fish sauce, but it was maybe chili oil and some sort of vinegar. It was really nice. And then there was like a little ramekin of salt, but it was like a seasoned salt. Couldn't tell what it was seasoned with. Maybe some sort of seaweed sort of, you know, dust or whatever.
Yeah.
And boy, that was good. Getting a little piece of like Wagyu ribeye and, you know, dipping it in like the spicy oil and then the salt. Everything, I got a little more salt. At one point, I did exclaim, I was like, I fucking love salt. I love salt so much. Just getting a little bit of salt,
yeah.
I was like, man, that's, because that's what you would do with a steak. Like a little finishing salt on anything is so good. And they just gave you like a little ramekin of it and like, go to town. I will say also too, something else that I discovered that I was like, man, this is so good. It was thinly sliced. I'm big on king oyster mushrooms. And you get them for super cheap from H Mart in Koreatown because they're just like super sustainable. They like, you can grow them in like a factory dark and just like super easily and just sell them for dirt cheap. You get them like so cheap at H Mart sometimes. They're on sale for like a dollar. And they're so meaty and good. There's so much umami in a king oyster mushroom.
Yeah.
They thinly sliced them, probably on a mandolin, so they're like long ways. It almost looks like a slab of bacon, but slab of bacon was all fat.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? I didn't know what it was. And then it was a mushroom, and it was just wrapping up steak or short rib or pork belly in a thinly sliced king oyster mushroom. And then dipping it with your chopsticks and then the various little pickled things. I was like, damn, that's fucking good.
So were you cooking the slices of...
Yeah. I mean, they did. I mean, they're on top of it. I mean, there's people there wearing headsets and stuff.
So are you guys cooking your meats to your thing, or is a waiter coming by and doing it?
So very, like, two different waiters.
Okay.
Two different servers coming by.
I prefer it that way. There are some places that they just hand you a plate of raw meat, and they're like, do it. And I'm like, no.
I hope you passed your food safety test.
Yeah, exactly. What if I undercook it?
Are you certified in California as a food handler?
God.
Sometimes I love that dance of it, though, because it's like they mostly have it covered. And when they're like, it's done, they'll like throw it on top of some onions. And I'm like, I like that. Because that's how you know it's done. They're like, it's done. It's not going to cook more on top of the onions or barely.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like you can just tell. Like it's everything is sliced so thinly.
Yeah.
That it cooks like just instantly. Except for some, we got like a whole ribeye and they slapped a ribeye on there and then they'll cut it up with scissors. And I'm just like, it's so marbled with fat.
Yeah.
You just like tear it like paper.
So crazy.
It's just like they cut it with scissors real easily. And it was fucking really good. I forgot. And it was like such a post-pandemic thing to do. I had forgotten what a frenzy eating Korean barbecue is. It's a marathon. It's almost like you're done eating. You're like, we were here for like 20 minutes. Because the banchan hits.
Yeah.
They start bringing out plates of meat. Everyone's like, especially if you're eating with comedians.
Right.
There's slobs. Something in the back of our brains where we're like, the food's going to go away.
Yeah.
And so we ate so fast. And it was delightful, man. It was great. You missed out. Man. But I would love to go back to more Korean barbecue. You ate... As soon as I got here, you told me you ate beans. I saw some beans in a pot over there.
Oh, yeah. I made the British-style beans. So, you know, we're on a Gordon Ramsay thing. We watch a lot of Gordon Ramsay.
Sure.
That's an interesting person.
Beans on toast.
We went to England a couple years ago and had a really fun time. I had some of the worst food of my life and some food that I was really glad to have tried. I had never tried, though, the Heinz blue can of beans.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking up on the internet, I want to eat beans and toast because I heard that in a fucking Monty Python sketch or something. And you'll find a recipe and they'll tell you specifically, gotta be the Heinz blue can of beans. Gotta be the blue can.
Okay.
Because that is what they were delivered while they were getting their shit rocked by the Fuhrer. You know what I mean? And that's it was the shelf stable ingredients that they could, you know, cook and nourish a family. They are very quick to be like, do not use the American style, overly sweet baked beans. Do not use canned baked beans made with flavor, like brown sugar, bacon, da-da-da-da-da-da.
But isn't that all you're adding to it anyways in the recipe? No?
There's no recipe, Danny. When you look up how to eat this British beans and toast, it is dump the blue can into a bowl, stir it, pour it over the toast. Maybe butter the toast. I think some recipes are like, well, you have to butter the toast. And I'm like, okay. Wow. I just wanted a taste of the authentic, you know, quick British breakfast experience.
And how did it taste? Even after you seasoned it.
So the beans, the sauce is mild. Whatever, if baked beans are going in a barbecue sauce direction,
yes.
It's not literally barbecue sauce, but it is, it's soupy, barbecue
we're talking
flavored.
Yes.
It's barbecue soup.
We're talking about a sweet American,
yeah.
Talking about brown sugar.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, Bush's baked beans, those common baked bean cans that you see, there'll be, those flavors. The brown sugar, vinegar, bacon.
Okay.
Maybe a hair of some mustard or something.
See,
like
I love
that.
The idea of taking a can of, the blue can of British baked beans and then sweetening it myself because I'd like, you know, you can do it to more of your taste. It's less processed and, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I like that
idea. I mean, I think some people put ketchup on it, but it is already ketchup-y. I mean, that is, it's, if,
really?
If baked beans are a barbecue soup, then these blue can of beans were a ketchup soup. It was, and it was also not very sweet.
Yeah.
Didn't taste like much.
Yeah.
It didn't taste like much. I'm dumping something out of a can, Danny, that was packaged a year or two ago.
Well, this is...
And I'm thinking, I need to add salt to this.
Yeah.
I actually had the thought I needed to add salt, and I'm like, no way.
Something out of a can?
Something out of a can does never needs to be salted.
Has never needed to be salted.
I'm eating it this morning, and I'm like, this needs like salt or something. I'm like, what?
That's
what
the main ingredient of processed food.
It
like
is.
Sodium.
I don't know how they this is the British for you, and I'm sorry to talk so much shit on British food, but I don't know how they managed to make something so unhealthy have no flavor.
Wow. They didn't do that much in the war. Maybe if the beans were
they
better.
Didn't do that much in the war except have half of their cities demolished. Demolished.
Yeah.
They got their asses kicked. And then we talk about I had a grandfather who was in
beans.
World War II.
That's because we had sugar in our beans.
We had sugar in our beans and because we entered
we
the
were
war.
Jacked.
We entered the war in the last 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Oh, sure. We came through in the last 2 weeks and
We were like, yeah, Germany seems pretty bad over there. We're going to worry about Japan. Hey, guys, let's go party on this boat in the middle of the Pacific where there's no other, there's no axis. Let's just party on a boat for a few years. That's what my papa did. He was like nowhere near front. But he was on a sub tracker and he was tracking subs and near like the Philippines and stuff.
That's wild.
And he never saw a whole lot of action. He like when he talks about World War II, he's one of those guys where it's like, and then we stopped off in New Zealand and I saw wonders I'd never seen. And then I went home. It took 8 years. We'd sunbathe and we'd shoot mines in the ocean with our handguns. Like the part of combat that he saw was basically a video game. He doesn't want to tell me about the fucked up shit.
Well, they
shit
were all
Navy,
right?
He was in the Navy and he was on
this
boat.
So was my family, yeah.
Okay.
I never really asked them much what they ate.
Oh, he was not a lot of these guys weren't very adventurous. It was the guys that stuck around, got a woman pregnant, and just said, "Oh, I'm a white guy who lives here." And
can I tell you this is a very funny story?
Those guys had interesting lives. The other guys are like, "No, I never left the boat." My papa was a never left the boat style Alabaman.
Right. I'm gonna tell a story that is slightly racist, but it's about my uncles. It's about Italians and Greeks, and that's why it's racist.
Are you the racist person in this story?
No.
Someone else is, so you can relate
to
this story.
It's my uncles who are both... I have a side of the family that's Greek and a side of the family that's Italian. And Italians and Greeks at that time, I don't know, they were always squabbling. Even like in my hometown, they would like talk shit on each other. But I'm like, I grew up with both of you. I'm like, you're the same people for the most part. Everyone's like very gregarious and talking with their hands and like, you know, but maybe that's just like sort of like island Greeks and like, which is where my family's from. And then like Italians, I don't know.
Okay.
But my uncle Bill, they were both in the Navy. My granduncle Bill and my granduncle Mike. And they were telling me about a time they were in Venice. Cause I came back from Italy.
Yeah.
I was like 22 and I was like talking about it and they were in Venice and they were drinking moonshine and, they were just like being like very loud. They were at a bar and like they were being like horrible.
Wait, like moonshine, like Tennessee
like
moonshine,
like actual moonshine,
not ouzo
somewhere in Venice. Like someone had a bottle. I mean, they called it moonshine, and someone had a bottle.
This is Venice, Italy, not Venice Beach, Venice, California.
This is Venice, okay. Italy. This is okay. Venice, because there was they were stationed there or something. They ended up in Venice, right?
And they got
and
some moonshine.
All I remember is they were just like, they were getting, they were getting so drunk at this bar, they got thrown out of the bar, and things escalated to where my great uncle Bill, who was a, who rest in peace, he died last year. He was a, like a very racist person, but okay. he's and he said the word Dago, and the way my uncle Mike tells a story, he goes, he said the word Dago. He's like, that was it. He was like, Danny, I'm telling you, they started coming out of the rafters, the sewers. He's like, they can't. It's like the town descended upon them.
Yeah,
and like drove them down the street. And then my uncle Bill, who's just a big problem, was talking shit to this guy. And he like dropped his wallet, and the guy bent over to pick it up for him, and he popped him in the face.
Whoa!
And it was the chief of police of Venice. This is just like the story they said. I'm like, I don't even know how you guys left that place. Like, how did you guys not end up in jail? But I was always fascinated by the fact that like Italians and Greeks had it out for each other so much, and that they were just so brazenly saying the word "Dago" in Italy. I was like, what are you guys doing?
Does the chief of police in Venice, does he bend down after getting punched and reach for his gun, and instead of a gun, there's a bottle of balsamic vinegar? Is that what happens?
Aged balsamic vinegar. God, that's so funny.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, everybody, it's time for Fake Food, Real Food, the part of the show where we review some fake food that tastes good but is horrible for you, and then real food that tastes good and is probably good
also
for you.
Horrible
also
horrible for you.
It could be. Or it could
a,
be
lot of, a lot of the real food is just butter and
that's
salt.
True. It's bad for you in a way that we've decided is, like, you know, worth
nourishing,
it. Worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
A lot of dairy. James, I went back to H-Mart. I went back to H Mart.
Hell Mart.
I went back to I went back to get some King Oyster mushrooms. They're super cheap there. And I got Jolly Pong. It is a Korean cereal snack. High in fiber. There's a bunch of pictures of vegetables on it.
Now, you would think that cereal would already be a snack. But this is
true.
I get why it is marketed in English as cereal snack, because I took a bite of it. I'm gonna take one more. Right now.
Yeah, get a little more.
I took a bite of it, even though I'm not on carbs right now, Danny. I'm on a little diet.
That's right.
We're
going
to talk about that in a second. And this is like marketing cereal to be eaten dry, even though on the back of the package, they got this cereal sloshing in some milk.
Right. Well, here's the problem. I don't think people eat cereal as a snack like this because it comes in a box. People don't show up places with a box of Doritos. Do you know what I'm saying? I wish they would. We just start putting Doritos in a little cardboard box.
I love the cardboard box with the interior bag. It's
a flat,
lovely
a flat
about
Amazon
it.
Box. Why would they change the? It should come in a bag. But I think, I mean, what they did was, and I'm surprised that can't be true. They have to do this with cereal in America. There has to be a version of like Fruity Pebbles that comes in like a small like Lay's bag.
I think
bag.
So. Well, the only difference in cereal packaging is the one that you see at the Continental Breakfast. That's like, it's a cereal box that a G.I. Joe would use. You know the one you see in the hotel,
right?
And you're technically you're supposed to fold it and make it into a bowl. They give you the option to open it like a freaking armoire, and then you like open the bag, and then you pour the milk into the bag inside the cardboard box, and you're supposed to eat it like that. Like the packaging is designed to let you do that.
Nobody does that.
Nobody does it in the same way that no one takes the Chinese fold up box, the Chinese takeout box, that folds out into a plate. No one does that. No one unfolds the Chinese box into a plate.
No one does it with the little, okay, so the little thing of ketchup.
Yeah.
The little paper thing of ketchup, you can fold out and like,
Put
your fries on it. There's like, you know, like the, okay, so the little paper cup of ketchup.
Oh, yeah, that. I know what you're talking about.
No one does that.
The temporary cups that are near a ketchup pump.
Or tartar sauce station.
Yeah. Yeah, you can unfold those. Someone taught me that was an In-N-Out skill I learned. When I came to L.A. for the first time, and I was talking to a California native, and they're like, here's what you do. And then they started to gently unfold the white thing to get more ketchup in.
Go pick up your In-N-Out handbook so you know how to order food at In-N-Out. I don't know. You know, there's all these things where it's like, you know what you have to do, and you're like, Christ, just make a pamphlet already for an account so we can understand what the fuck we're supposed to do.
That's how they keep the prices so low, you know what I mean? They refuse to change their signage. That's how the cheeseburger gets to stay $4.
This is, okay, so this is cereal in a bag.
But it's cereal in a bag.
But also, the texture is a little bit more airy than cereal.
It's not
ruining my mouth.
No, it hit my tongue and vaporized.
Yep, 100%.
It did not maintain a crunch.
This would get soggy quick.
Yeah, why would you ever put this in milk? You would have to put it on a spoon dry and then dip it into a cup of milk and immediately eat it if you were going to try to have a cereal.
It's real
experience.
Sinister shit on here too, where it's like there's, if you look at the front of this package for Jolly Pong, there are all kinds of pictures of vegetables. Tomato.
High in dietary fiber, and then they give you a little pictogram of...
There's a tomato. It says 3.4 each. And it's like, this is not like eating three tomatoes.
No,
there's
not.
No way. Cabbage, spinach,
they're referring
celery.
Specifically to the fiber content,
that's
which
it.
Means that
right.
Jolly Pong is... What could
it's
it
just,
possibly be made
it's,
of?
It's sinister advertising, though. To just put pictures of vegetables on there?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I know.
But I mean, this is what marketing food is.
It is. It's like vitamin water is not water at all.
Cereal in a bag. I'm for it. I would like to see it more often.
Dry cereal in a Doritos bag kind of thing.
Something.
Yeah, I think people need to be doing this. Jolly Pong, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong, Jolly Pong. A lot of how this is going is pretty good, but I would want a heartier, a rougher. I want it rougher.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
like it rough, Danny. Yeah, cereal, no. I like
Listen,
it rough.
Listen, if we're... That's specifically about Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Fuck up my mouth. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I
want to... Choke me, Captain.
Choke me, Captain. Oh, Captain. That is... I would eat Captain Crunch out of a bag. I don't eat cereal ever anymore.
Me either.
I can't even... Yesterday was my birthday, and I was taking a walk with my friend, and we stopped at a 7-Eleven. As soon as I walked in, I was like, I'll get a slushie today. It's a day to get a slushie.
Yeah,
and I had a slushie, but I can't imagine too many scenarios. Like it would have to be something special going on for me to be like, I'm gonna eat cereal. Like I might have to be on vacation or something, or like
my wife eats cereal twice a day.
Really?
She eats cereal when she wakes up, and then she eats cereal at like 10 p.m. She's still
smart.
Hungry.
She's
a big cereal eater. I'm not a big cereal eater. At some point, I never ate oatmeal growing up. I only ate Frosted Flakes and Frosted Shredded Mini Wheat and stuff.
Okay,
and then,
so wait. You're not doing carbs right now?
Not doing carbs.
How's that going?
I am on the Tim Ferriss diet, the 4-hour body diet. Are you familiar with Tim Ferriss, 4-hour work week?
No.
This is like a body hacking, hack your week, this is one of those self-improvement guys that like, you know, Silicon Valley type dudes are really into and stuff. His sequel to the best-selling 4-hour work week is the 4-hour body. And this is him doing a bunch of experiments to find... Can't remember what the name of it's like low cost, high yield. He was just trying to find the things that you could do for fitness, for health, that were the least work with the highest results.
Okay.
And he landed with this diet that's very popular.
All efficiency.
All efficiency.
This has a very Silicon Valley vibe to it.
Well, his whole thing is work smart, not hard. He's like, you should be spending most of your time vacationing and talking to girls.
You know who else says this? Line cooks who make $7.25 an hour. They also say that. They also say this.
Every guy you've ever worked with.
Every guy you've ever worked with who's like sorting mail.
He owns 4-hour work week. Like... I do too. Okay, so the 4-hour body, his big thing was the slow carb diet, and he was like, I wanted a diet that had the least impact on my lifestyle. And my lifestyle is I want to enjoy my life. And so this is like a diet that is designed to be fairly easy to keep up because it's like, it's five rules. And I'll see if I can remember them off the top of my head. But the first rule is avoid all white carbs. He's like, you can't have any of those carbs that are
rice, pasta.
It's pretty much bread. Any carb that is only a carb. So rice, pasta, bread, mm-hmm. anything that's the starch that you lay food that has nutrition down on top of to soak up.
Yeah. Any canvas.
You kind of can't have a canvas.
Okay.
I have broken this rule a couple times by having a slice of Ezekiel bread here and there.
Okay.
Because sometimes you have to do it. But that is not a super unhealthy.
But that's filled with protein.
It's filled with protein. It's filled with real things.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So I'll have Ezekiel bread every once in a while. Okay. But I'm really trying not to do the other things. And then let's see. What are some of the other tenets of this diet? It's super easy to follow. Legumes, you can have
as many beans as you want.
Legumes, animal protein. This is the components of every meal: is animal protein, legumes of some kind, and then like roughage, like greens.
Oh yeah, sure.
And you can load up on as many greens as you want, mm-hmm. And healthy fats. That's the other one. Healthy fats.
Olive oil.
Avocados, right, okay. Those kinds of things.
No butter.
Can
you?
I think I'm eating butter.
There are so many different.
No dairy. The final rules are like no dairy, and then no fruit, and no drinkable calories. You can't drink any of your calories.
That makes sense.
Stick to coffee, yes. Seltzer, unsweetened tea.
I do that.
And then the final thing is cheat day once a week where you spike your caloric intake. And the whole point of this diet is like fat burning. You lose weight pretty quickly because you move all of your eating into stuff that is only nutritious.
Yeah.
You remove any part of eating that's fun and just go to like the nutritious stuff. But it's fairly easy to keep it up.
Can I pick apart the things that I like that I do?
Sure.
There are so many diets out there that I feel like any number of combinations will work. But you know, two consistent things is no drinkable calories.
No,
I feel like that's
calories.
Most diets, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Unless it's like alcohol or something, you know, like why would you drink a soda? If you're trying to lose weight, I mean, it's dead air, man. And
I've got weight I'm trying to lose, and I never drink that stuff. So it's like, oh shit, that actually is not going to change my life that much. I've been off beers mm-hmm. for a couple weeks. And I'm just going to make sure I don't drink any more beers.
Okay.
Clear liquors, dry red wine.
That's good.
That's my new alcohol rule.
Cheat day is important too, because I will notice after like maybe 3 or 4 days of like, I went hard this week on like just eating very lightly. I need to fuck it up.
Yeah.
I can't do this for longer than a week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, you have to have the cheat day because otherwise you're going to give up on the diet.
You know what would have been good is you would have crushed Korean barbecue too.
I know.
Just because it was like, you know. It's just a ton of meat. There are no carbs in a Korean barbecue.
There's no carbs, and a lot of the banchan are just like fermented pickled vegetables, which are all really good for your gut and stuff. So,
James, real food. We went to Tree of Wishes last week. That's the name. The name of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Tree of Wishes.
See, I had just tried to start this diet before Tree of Wishes, and then like, no, we're gonna go to this Mediterranean place, and I was like. Okay, I'm about to dip a whole lot of flatbread into some delicious yogurt-based sauces.
I wasn't expecting the big thing of flatbread, to be honest with you.
It was great.
But it was very good, So
I didn't have anything disappointing at Tree of Wishes, I'm going to be honest. I was.
That was
one of the more, like, I kind of like everything we're eating.
So it reads sort of, I mean, I guess the lazy description would be Middle Eastern. To me, it's a little more like, I guess, Lebanese. I don't know, just because you see some of the...
I'd say.
You know, because I mean, that's how I would describe hummus, you know, labneh, grape leaves, stuff like that. Like a lot of, you know, pomegranate.
Skewers.
Fennel. I don't know. These are like things like, I mean, and I know that's like exists in a lot of different countries, but definitely makes me think of Lebanese food. I was really interested in the use of grape leaves to wrap a salmon skewer. Which I thought was delicious. We got three different salmon skewers. We got a beef, a chicken, and then a salmon wrapped in a grape leaf. And
Salmon in the grape leaf was my favorite of the skewers.
Me too. Grape leaf has a nice, bitter, sort of sour, I don't know, note to it. I thought that was delicious. I think you can like wrap more things in grape leaves. It also came with the marinated anchovies on grilled sourdough. This was like a, as you said, a mozza scenario where you ordered
yeah,
like
similar.
A Caesar salad and it came on a piece of grilled sourdough. And then they, you sort of like, God, it's not like, I wouldn't call it a crostini, but whatever it is, because it's not crispy enough, but I love.
Yeah, what gets to be a crostini?
Right, exactly.
What but gets to be a crostini?
I just love seeing a thing on a menu being served on sourdough.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love sourdough.
That was good. So they had marinated anchovies, grape leaves, pickled onions, and chilies on a grilled sourdough. There was like the, sort of this aioli that was like getting thrown around everywhere. We got probably my favorite thing, grilled octopus, tomato fennel vinaigrette.
Oh, I haven't had anything like this in a long time.
It was a really good treat.
A perfectly charred
grilled octopus.
Octopus yeah. tentacles it, was just
yeah,
awesome.
It's, which is like, you know, and that was one of the things that I will commend them on, was to perfectly grill an octopus is like hard to do. Or it's not, it's easy. I'll say this, it's easy to fuck up, and a lot of restaurants do it. Like oftentimes you'll try an octopus and it's like too chewy. We've all had
yeah,
chewy.
I've had
we've
chewy
all
octopus.
Had chewy calamari.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so yeah. for it to be like the perfect texture and have a really nice dark char to it.
I didn't know how, like, I didn't know that octopus done the right way tastes like eating super shrimp. I didn't know that it was going to feel more like langostino lobster.
Yes.
Because I think I've only had octopus that wasn't handled super great. You know what I mean?
And they also paired it with potatoes, which is like one of my favorite combinations.
Octopus and potatoes.
One of my favorite combinations of
food. It was delicious.
There's a lot of restaurants that do that. I'm like, it's just such a filling and hearty and complete meal without bread.
Yeah.
It feels Spanish to me.
Yeah.
But it was delicious. We got a half chicken. Al Matone with preserved lemon and green olives.
we were having such a...
We fucked it up.
We were having such a fun time eating this food that by the time the half chicken, like the actual like centerpiece, showed up at the table, you're like, I guess I'll eat it.
Labneh's so good. It's just yogurt with the... I think it's just strained yogurt to get rid of the whey, and so it becomes more like a cheese.
Yeah.
I used it to make miseria, which is like a Polish creamy cucumber side dish, which is really tasty. But
now Labneh, that's the way it comes. You buy it made, or make Labneh?
You could probably make. I mean, I was
what
thinking.
What is Labneh? Can you tell me what it is?
I think it's just. I'm pretty sure it's just yogurt. So the consistency of like a Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
So it's like yogurt, but it's like strained to remove the whey, and so it's just it becomes thicker. You know what? It's the consistency of cream cheese.
Yeah,
so that's kind of it's a little cheesier, and I think you just achieved that.
It was more in a
like
mayonnaise,
straining it,
mayonnaise, consistency.
If you buy Labneh from like a Armenian grocery store or something, it's always like a little bit like cream cheese, kind of.
Yeah,
it's fucking delicious.
It was really good.
And it's just got the sourness of a yogurt, but it's creamy like a cream cheese, and it's delicious.
I mean, talk about banchan, those things that they brought at the very beginning. It was a Labneh, it was a muhammara, and marinated olives. I do not like olives. Ate a bunch of these olives because whatever they were marinated in really toned down the meaner aspects of an olive as far as I see them. You know,
I like calling them
fuck
mean.
You for eating me.
I like calling them mean.
That's the attitude I get from a lot of Kalamatas and stuff.
You know, I need to find new food words. I was watching because I did a video yesterday and I was just like, how am I talking about food? Well, you know what I like to say about garlic is harsh.
Harsh.
I like to say harsh.
You know,
I like to say the harshness of the garlic. You want to cook the harshness away.
I'm
like, I've been watching a lot of cooking videos
that
I've said that. But I mean, that is the best way to explain it, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Olives aren't harsh,
uh-huh.
but I understand mean.
You know my favorite food word that I use a lot? Bracing.
Bracing?
Bracing. I think most people use the word astringent, which is not a food word to me. Astringent is a word that you save for medicinal purposes.
Yes.
So something like Campari, which was created originally to be medicinal.
Yeah.
That was when pharmacies were like, no one knew what medical science was. So they were just like, well, we should make weird booze. Yeah. And this is medicine.
Yeah.
And so Campari was first. I think that's where a term like astringent comes from, is the medicinal properties that food and booze had back in the day. And they still say astringent. But astringent is like I got a big gash on my foot on a rock near a beach. And now we need some astringent.
Yeah.
So I say bracing. If you're going to drink it, something like apple cider vinegar, I'll say the word bracing.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Those kinds of things.
I like bracing. You're right about astringent. I have seen it before. I have seen people say that before. But slightly acidic or bitter. Maybe I'll throw astringent in there. I will say
slightly acidic or bitter.
Or bitter is
what astringent means.
It's the second definition. Yeah.
And I'm right. Bracing, fresh and invigorating.
That's great.
You don't want to say
James
negative things about food.
I promise you, the next thing that you read that I have written, it will be using the word bracing.
Bracing, fresh and invigorating.
Dude, I need new words.
Because you want to talk about vinegar type things, things that are traditionally medicinal, but we're enjoying for food and recreation.
We
want to say positive words.
I like combining words together.
Acidic is right on the. That's right on the edge.
Here's what I say. Well, I don't just say acidic. I will say brightly acidic.
Right.
I say that because I like to say bright. I like to say piquant. I think that's another good one. At a certain point, you're like, I have said aromatic 4 times in this video, and I'm like, I need, which is good, but like, I can't keep saying that. I'm gonna have to bring out new things.
Floral. You can say floral instead of aromatic.
Literally, when I'm writing something, I put in something like floral into. I'm like, give me synonyms. And I have to learn new words.
I think that's how they do it.
100%.
You think food writers spend all their time reading? No. Chomping. They don't have time to look up new words.
James, when you want to go back to Tree of Wishes?
I actually do want to go back pretty soon.
I like the restaurant a lot.
Yeah.
But I think I'm like a couple months away.
I think
I'm a couple months away. And, you know what I want to go back for?
What?
They have a brunch and they do a burger and apparently it's like it reads like a spiced sort of kofta burger with lebna and muhammara on it. I'm a big muhammara fan.
Yeah,
I love muhammara. Yeah, you know this. Every time I go to a restaurant, I order it. There's two things I get at a restaurant if they have it: muhammara and a muffaletta. I have to try every muffaletta on the planet.
Really?
If a restaurant is selling one, I'm like, I need to try it. It's also hard to screw up olives. If you like olives, and it's on a sandwich with deli meat.
Yeah.
Impossible to screw up. I'll probably go back in a couple months when I find myself in that area again.
Yeah.
I realized it was next to where some comedy shows are.
Yeah.
Genghis Cohen.
It's near the Improv.
Yeah.
So that's like the kind of place. And I'm always, as a person who's drinking more and more wine lately, you do have to know about places that the wine is not Sutter Home that someone's digging out of the back of their truck or whatever.
Yes.
Like, you do need to know the places that I can just. And also, we totally forgot. The patio is pretty sick.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Patio is amazing.
The actual setting of where this is feels like definitely doesn't feel like it's on Melrose. It does not feel like you're going to get mowed down by eight 15-year-olds on hoverboards, which is mostly what Melrose feels like.
It's a leading cause of death on Melrose.
Leading cause of death on Melrose is vaping while hoverboarding.
All right, James, it's time for the special topic of the week. You know what? I'm just going to talk about something I wrote last week, and it was a thing about how I grew up working in bad restaurants.
Yeah.
And the things that you can glean from working at bad restaurants. I had some line cooks reach out and be like, yo, this really hits home. First of all, when I say bad restaurant, I mean like mediocre places, not like uncleanly, but like, you know, we've said this, menus from the 80s.
Yeah.
I didn't work fine dining.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so there's still some things that you can learn from those places, and I wanted to communicate those and also kind of just to remember these things and like, oh, I think they can maybe be useful to home cooks. I will say one, and I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, just big plastic wrap, restaurant grade plastic wrap. I don't know what kind of, if you're working with saran wrap or not, but it is, I hate saran wrap. So after working with restaurant grade,
it immediately folds back in on
flimsy.
Itself and becomes impossible to manipulate.
It crumbles under the smallest bit of scrutiny.
Yeah.
It folds under questioning rather easily.
But Ziploc, like, Tuckerware, foil, Tuckerware. That's Tucker Carlson's Tupperware. You know.
When he gets his Target brand. When he gets his Target cookbook.
Don't let oxygen cancel your food. Tuckerware.
you can get Restaurant Depot, like a plastic, it's like 3,000 feet of plastic wrap. It doesn't take up that much space in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And it has a strong base. So you can, what you can do with it is just set it on your counter, put a plate of food in front of it, just neatly with two fingers grab your plastic wrap and cover it, and the base doesn't move at all.
The base is heavy, so it's not gonna.
So you don't have to pick it up like a giant scroll that you found
in
a
always
tomb.
Yeah,
right. 100%.
And then only the part that your hand is holding taut is the part that you can manipulate.
Dude,
the rest of it twirls, and
it's worth it. And it doesn't take up much room. You could just like leave it.
This is a game.
So that was one. Another one too, and I don't know if do you have fun with tongs?
I love tongs, and I use tongs frequently, Danny.
Okay.
After all, last night I did make myself a New York strip, and I saw that fat, and I was like, well, this fat better get rendered somehow.
So you flipped it.
And I'm from watching Hell's Kitchen. I know what they do. They flip it on its side, and they hold it down.
Yeah, they
render,
did.
You asshole.
Do you pick up pots and pans with the tongs? Because you can. Like,
with
the tongs? The thing that I said is, you can use it as an extension of your arm. So, let's say...
So you can pick up stuff that's super hot that you would burn your fingers off.
100%. So let's say that you have something in your broiler or your oven, and your oven's, 400 degrees, and you need to get that thing out of there. Maybe you don't immediately have a dish towel in front of you, or they're in the hamper or something. Right. You just use your tongs and get a good grip on it, and just, you can wave, if you have a good grip on it, you can wave that thing around. And I only know this from just working as a dishwasher and seeing line cooks. That was the first time I saw it. When they bring over a hot sizzling pan.
They're holding tongs.
They're holding it with tongs.
A lot of tongs are very lightweight, and I wouldn't imagine that they could hold a cast iron pan.
Well, here's the reason. A cast iron's much different. A cast iron, you probably, if it's a small cast iron, maybe, but something smaller, a sizzler, or a cookie tray or something like that, like a half sheet tray, you can pick up, no problem. Yeah. But I think it's a valuable skill to have.
Yeah.
Other things, stock is flavor. Stock goes in everything.
Yeah.
And this is something I believe too, is restaurants, people say that butter goes into every dish, and I'm like, I think it's stock.
Yeah.
Is equal to is butter.
Yeah.
I think stock goes into everything. The nice restaurants I have worked in, they've all made their own veal stock, chicken stock, vegetable stock. And then it goes in vegetables, pastas, risotto, all those things.
I always say I'm going to make my own stock, and then I just...
You don't have to.
I have a big bucket of bones in my freezer, and I don't do anything with it.
You got to talk to your bone guy.
My bone guy.
I got a bone guy. I think store-bought chicken stock is fine, though, too. I think you can use it. Sometimes
that's mostly what I use is in bone broth. You can buy bone broth in little individual
yes, you can.
Pints, not pints, half pints or whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
That's I use those for cooking a lot because bone broth doesn't have much flavor, but it does have a lot of the texture that you're wanting to get from stock.
Oh,
it has a lot of the gelatin and everything in it. So
there's Kenji Lopez again.
Yeah.
He recommended if you do use store bought chicken stock, take a packet of gelatin. He's like, it's like the same.
Add
it's
pectin
like
this, to it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's like the same stuff, anyways.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's wild. I never thought about that. As
just
being
dump
an acceptable,
the dry gelatin into it.
Uh huh.
And then
your stock,
as you heat it up, it'll
not even. You don't even have to heat it up.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll just, as soon as it takes on moisture, it'll start doing that chemical stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll become thicker. And then if you add it to a sauce or something, it's thickening your sauce. I'm like, oh, that's smart. Instead of cooking a chicken stock for 9 hours.
This is great. And we got through this entire segment without saying the words unctuous mouthfeel, which is talk about a food word that can burn in hell. I really hate unctuous mouthfeel.
I hate
mouthfeel.
You
just say gelatin. You can say thickened. We know what you're talking about.
Viscous.
Unctuous mouthfeel.
Viscous. I like viscous.
That's fine. Unctuous mouthfeel, to me, connotes something way more exotic and strange than simply it makes the food less watery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It sounds like there's something more sinister going on when you say unctuous mouthfeel.
Or something more interesting going on.
Yeah.
Something more flavorful going on. It rarely is. It's just...
Mouthfeel sounds like... You're rating some sort of competition or something.
Exactly.
And I don't like it.
Best cocktail
technique
mixologists in America kind of thing.
And someone holds up a scorecard or something. That's what mouthfeel feels like.
Mouthfeel.
How did we ever sounding
description. Mouthfeel. It all feels in your mouth. All food feels like something. Mouthfeel.
Is there somebody specifically responsible for the word mouthfeel?
Unctuous mouthfeel. I don't know. It could be one of these fools.
Because
on
it
Food
happened
Network.
In the last like 10 years.
I don't know. I do hear Elton Brown say it a lot. That does feel a little bit like an Elton word because it's.
Oof, that'll be rough if it is.
You're digging it out of the back of a dictionary, which Ugh. Feels a little Elton Brown-y. But Elton Brown also is, he's, to me, a little unpretentious. He's very straightforward when it comes to his food.
He's complicated.
I think he's pretty straightforward.
Listen, I mean.
He's trying to cause certain reactions.
He's straightforward, but then he also asks you to do some wild shit sometimes, sure. Which we've agreed with.
Onions and a mac and cheese.
Onions. Well, yeah, that and also, like, you know, you don't need a blender when you have, like, a ceiling fan. And you're like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, he recommends, like, all these, like, very strange ways to cook things.
His Mr. Wizard tech tendencies can be a little obnoxious. Yeah.
Worst recipe for red sauce I've seen.
What is it?
I'll say that.
What is it?
I had to have said this before.
What is it?
Ketchup goes in there.
Okay, never mind.
When he puts in ketchup. He uses Worcestershire, which I don't mind using it for certain things,
but
in a red sauce or like a meat sauce.
Ketchup and Worcestershire,
I feel
like you're describing a katsu sauce more than a tomato sauce. Like just hearing those two ingredients, I'm like, okay, are you?
He put ketchup in there, and I understand the thought process, which is like, if you're going to put sugar in your red sauce, then, you know, why not just use ketchup because it's, you know, tomatoes flavor.
Kind of understand that.
It doesn't make sense to me.
You don't think it makes sense?
No.
Because ketchup is just going to taste like ketchup.
Ketchup
You're going to identify it immediately.
I mean, it's almost like you're just like trying to upset Italians. Which, if that's the case, cool. Just tell me that's what you're doing and I'm on board.
Elton Brown speaks with the authority and like vocabulary of a much more refined person, but he's at heart is a hick.
Yeah.
My wife and I were laying awake the other night. We were just talking about our families and like how sometimes when we're talking to friends who come from more cultured areas and we describe some of the stuff that we did as children, some of the things that are comfort foods, we're hicks. Like we literally come from like all of Becca's family are Texas and New Mexico like trailer trash.
Yeah.
And all of my family are like the first people that went to college from a brood of like farm kids in rural Alabama who were so poor they didn't know the Depression happened. They were like so detached from the Depression that they were like, we invented crunchy peanut butter before it was ever on store shelves. That's something that my grandpa, my papa, would brag about frequently. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God you don't have any
squirrel stew. I was like, honey. Oof. My grandpa grew up eating stewed squirrel, so I'm like, sometimes we just realize we're hicks. We come from hicks.
Yeah, that's a tough realization.
Elton Brown is one of those people. He's one of those people who comes. I guess clearly he comes from hicks, and there are some. You're gonna see some little trailer science.
Elton does a lot of pretentious things, but he's
trying to break from that identity.
I don't know. If
you
he's,
see Southern people
I don't
do
know
this.
If he's trying.
You see Southern people do this
oh,
a lot,
the, oh,
where
oh,
they
yes,
are
yes.
trying to. There's a Ben Folds song, Your Redneck Past.
Yeah.
If you're afraid they might uncover your redneck past,
yeah.
they could easily discover your redneck past. He talks about trying to lose the accent.
Yeah.
Because it's shorthand. The Southern accent is shorthand in America for look at the idiot.
100%.
Everyone tries to shed.
Yeah,
I am from Tennessee and I don't have
I
an
should
accent.
Be, I should be. Outen's great. I think so.
Some of it's pretentious and then some of it is just regular.
But when you frame it like that. I understand. I understand. Yeah. I mean, I still have shades of a Pittsburgh accent.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about this when I walked past a guy in the woods and I had a big sack of chanterelle mushrooms and I'm walking past this guy and he goes, oh, did you get some shanties? And I was like, holy Christ. And I'm like trying to speak. It's like, yes, I got some chanterelles. I like didn't want to sound like him at all.
was in California?
No. This was in Pittsburgh last year when I went home and I was.
You got some shanties.
Yeah. I was like foraging. I had this really like cool, like existential, like sort of moment. I was like, wow, I'm like one with the earth and like I really developed as a human and then I just see this guy who like, oh, did you get some shanties out there? And I was like, oh,
put
shit.
On a hagi.
Shit, I'm just a hick. I'm a Pittsburgh hick. It's a different kind of hick. All right, hey man, let's wrap it up there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, fine.
Anything you want to plug?
I would like to plug Really nothing. I got What Things Are What Things is my comedy game show. I hope you listen to it at Shrimp Jadge on Twitter and Instagram.
You got a
and,
Rod Stewart coming up?
We're not really. We don't have like a date set. We are trying to find a permanent venue for Rod Stewart Live.
Yeah.
My weekly comedy show in Los Angeles, California. Not weekly anymore. The bar that we used to have it at.
It used to be the only weekly comedy show in Los Angeles.
It used to be the only weekly comedy show in Los Angeles. That was how we built it. I like to lie a lot. I mean, first of all, show is a lie. Rod Stewart Live. Rod Stewart does not perform live ever.
I like to tell, you know what I like to do? A fun bit I've done in Austin and here sometimes is just like ask people if I can like have their show.
Yeah.
Just like ask, like, can I have like good heroin?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Will you give it to me? And it's just like, and eventually in Austin, it kind of worked.
Yeah.
I remember my friends, they stopped hosting a show and they're like, yeah, if you want it, like you'd have the slot and everything. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
And I just called it
That's a good way to go.
Yeah, I think just ask for it.
Yeah.
This is a good show.
Yeah.
And then you're like at the back, you're in the back of a show, and you're like, this is pretty good. Like, can I have it?
Yeah.
Can I have it?
Yeah.
It'll work one of these days. My name is Danny Palumbo. You can follow me on Instagram at Palumbros, PALUMBROS. Listen to this more often. Tell your friends. Rate it on iTunes. And if you like it, you know, feel free to jump in my DMs. Some people do this. They jump in my DMs and they tell me to check out a restaurant or I should try some sort of snack or what they like about it. We haven't gotten any hate mail yet, but when it does come, I will welcome it because I want the podcast to be better. So if there's something you don't like, you know, tell us.
And if you have ideas for segments, if there's things that you want to see out of our eventual Patreon that we'll be starting soon.
Yeah, I think we'll be doing that
hit
soon.
Hit us up because we're wanting to make this a more immersive experience and even some live shows in LA. I'm dying to have some live Macaroni Zones.
I'm down. We will find a venue.
We're going to find a fucking winery or something. We got to find somebody who will let us. Can't you imagine Macaroni Zone live around a bunch of barrels?
We could do
a bunch of barrels.
Oh, for sure. You know what? I'll talk to a restaurant. Maybe Lou Puyette let us do it.
Wino Vino. What about Wino Vino in Los
Feliz?
Could.
That'd be fun.
They have a little room.
If you have interest in a live Macaroni Zone, please let us know.
Let us know.
All right. That was it. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.
The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, goal,
or attending one live,
goal,
you can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement of the restrictions apply.